You want to make money on MMA? Let be. You want to know who to put it in your parlay? Let be. You want to know a DraftKings stay away? Let be. So, who has the Leslie Smith underdog pick? Who is the Mexican dude and the lesbian chick? Everybody say you mean Lesbo and the Bean. Who's that out there living they dream? Lesbo and the Bean. Who's that still smoking all the green? Lesbo and the Bean. Come on, y'all, let me hear you scream. Lesbo and the Bean.
Welcome back. Welcome back. What a fun night of fights we ended up having. We have 223 in the books. How did your night go, Lesbo? Here at Lap B, Lesbo and the Bean.
The entire prelims, my only fight I picked right was Ashley Evans-Smith.
Real quick, before we get into that, everything that ended up happening before, do we have to recap that? Because we did have a very exclusive YouTube only, which if you haven't listened to that, get into that. We broke down just kind of everything that's been happening with Connor and with the weight classes and all the bullshit.
With Max.
And we still didn't even get an episode out that we could have because we left it off with Max still having to weigh in and the Bean himself saying, Max is going to have a tough time cutting that weight. I know it's 10 pounds heavier, but people are saying he was like 190 in 6 days. That's unreal when you're fit in shape, guy. If he was chubby, you got it. Max was training for nothing, but he had six-pack abs.
No one's safe losing that much weight.
Agreed. Exactly. Even heavyweights. So, Ally Aquinta ended up stepping in, even though the week earlier, on Monday, he was telling an announcer himself, like, fighting Habib.
Before that. Max falls out. Then, word on the street, it may be Anthony Pettis that fills in. Because that's the word.
He had to wait 0.2 less, and he had time on the clock to reweigh back in, right? Anthony Pettis did?
So it was going to be Pettis. And then there's a hiccup of Paul Felder maybe taking the fight. A little hiccup blurb of Paul Felder, even though Ally Aquinta was trying to get it from the morning.
Why did Felder not be allowed? Why was he not allowed to?
I don't know what happened.
Because
with Paul
he
Felder.
Was not ranked in the UFC 155 division.
Because of all the people that may have missed our YouTube exclusive show, for all our people that just are on iTunes or some other audio form of this, all of this all happened to Khabib Nurmagomedov's fight after Tony Ferguson fell out.
Then Max Holloway fell out at weigh-ins. He was deemed about an hour before. He weighed 159 pounds that the doctors stopped his weight cut. It wasn't, he was trying to, but they're like, you got 9 pounds, or not nine, you got
four
pounds still, but.
For Paul Felder?
No, this is for Max Holloway. Then Paul Felder weighed in, and he actually tweeted after he weighed in immediately, I weighed 155 for a reason. But the New York State Athletic Commission themselves said, Paul Felder is not a ranked individual in the 155 division.
Oh, because he was too far.
So he didn't have a ranking, so it couldn't be a title bout, so Felder was knocked out of it. They offered it to Pettis. Pettis weighed in at 155.2, but he still had 30 minutes left, and everyone was thinking he was going to make weight and come back. But word on the street is, Anthony Pettis said, fuck this shit.
Good thing for him.
He was like, oh, no, thank you very much. He could have, who was he fighting? Who was he going to fight? Ally Aquinta?
Chiesa. Who fell out.
Right, who fell out earlier.
He got cut on the head from the Connor explosion.
So Anthony Pettis turned down the fight. Then they offered it to Al. Ally Aquinta, earlier in the week, said himself, fuck fighting Khabib Nurmagomedov. You're going to have to pay me $2 million. I don't want to fight that guy. That guy's a monster. Went back on everything he said. His coaches and him said, well, fuck it, you're going to pay me the biggest paycheck Al's ever had in his life. I really think that he put on a great showing and he has the ability right now in May. We may never see Al again. He might have made so much money just immediately and he has his realty company and other things going on. And this is legendary stuff as well. Just because Max came in, that's all good. But Al himself also, big step up, went to a decision. But either way, Al...
We can talk about that fight.
The main event, right. So, either way, Al takes the fight. He's a what? Minus 600? Minus 800 by the end of the night?
I have no idea.
It was such a big underdog. Agreed. Because we were all looking at our phones.
And that when you were saying fun night of fight, I was like, that's not the same emotion I have off of it. I was like a little, it was like somebody's, I want to take you out for a steak dinner, and they pulled me through a drive-thru.
That's a good point. We ended up having a total of 5 fights fall out. No.
We ended up with 9 and we started with 13.
13. And I feel like I was like, ooh, I feel like it's going to be 9. And sure enough, 9 bouts when we were getting into that last breakdown. By far the craziest thing I have ever, ever seen. I've been watching since pretty much the beginning.
I think we have an issue.
It's unreal.
I think we have a huge issue with the UFC. And I know we're going to talk about it when we get there. But I think everything we just explained. What, and it's really just them. They feel the need to put a belt on every single one of the cards they're trying to get a pay-per-view going for. And what should have happened instead of this whole fiasco, and we'll talk about the way we feel about our new 155 champion when we get there. Rose and Joanna should have headlined this card, and Khabib should have moved to the co-main.
There's very interesting things in the background going on with all of this, that the whole card is just proof for all of us UFC conspiracy theorists that are like, there's a game plan. You can make money if you know where to look.
We can talk about it. Let's get into it.
Lat V knows where to look. So you definitely still making some all right moves.
Oh, but I will say my main card, I did amazing on my main card.
Prelims were a little rough.
Prelims, awful. Ashley Evans Smith was my best pick. But I felt like I rode her pretty hard on the listening back to the show. I was feeling everything else. We were like, it's a coin flip. It's a coin flip. It's a coin flip. Her, I said, no, I'm going to put her everywhere. Not great. I think she got 60 or 70 points on DraftKings, but it would have been great for a parlay. And, you know, for the price she was actually an okay pick for a prelim. My main card, amazing. I'm glad a lot of my DraftKings, because they didn't offer the main card usually,
exclusive
fights, that I did go back and just do some main card fights, and it saved my night. It saved my night. But starting off
with Devin Clark defeating Mike Rodriguez in a decision at 205 pounds, this was a snooze fest. Really not good way to start the whole night. I do feel like this is the epitome of a cursed card. There wasn't many people that did really, really well. Everything just felt like the whole night was weird. I feel like Joe Rogan with John Anik and Jimmy Smith was one of the worst announcing trio that I've heard in a very, very long time.
Oh, I'm so glad you brought that up.
Trash announcing. Please do not put all these guys together. It was two color guys with Anik that was just waiting for them to talk more about the fight. Nobody wanted to step on each other's toes, and it turned into a more of a hang instead of a technical breakdown the whole night. I hope other people make a point, because it wasn't just me. It was bad announcing. I feel like we even turned it down a few times and we're like, this is why Lat B needs a live cast these fights.
I agree.
And let us know, fans, what you think. Would you want to listen to us during a, I don't want to call it a companion, because we have our own.
We call it a compadre.
Oh, that's right. Our fight compadres.
Lat B compadre.
So if you think that compadre or compadre is going to come down, let us know how you feel.
You can send us a Gmail or a tweet at Lesbo and the Bean at those places. One thing I have to say about the way it made me feel is, you know, when you have that uncle or the grandfather that comes that's different generationally or from a different part of the world or a different part of town, and they just are talking about shit at a dinner party that you're like, I'm a little uncomfortable by the conversation. I feel like that's where Joe Rogan sits. He's the same energy for the other two guys. We need in between a Dom Cruise or my favorite, a Daniel Cormier.
I want to say right after the fight, just an interesting thing, if you look back at the broadcast, in between the FS1 and pay-per-view, Joe Rogan was gone for a little bit of that in-between, and you could hear Jimmy Smith and Anik kind of going back a little bit and wondering where Joe was going to cut in. He comes back and is the chattiest Kathy I ever heard.
Chattiest, you're so right. He went and hit his oil pen. Gotta go drain the lizard, you guys.
Yeah, I gotta go. And he went and got on some Onyx supplements and definitely was shot out of a cannon.
You are right. He had a case of shot out of the cannon.
Fun little stuff that you like to look at it in the background that goes on. Either way, early, the announcing was weird. Devin Clark, though, was really going in for those takedowns. I am going to bet against Devin Clark, whatever other options I can. Mike Rodriguez's gas tank was also tested. He tends to finish people, be flashy. Devin Clark was able to take that. But after the first round, Devin Clark's hands were at his waist, and he was wobbling, rolling with the shots. But anybody with any good of a gas tank puts a five-punch combination on somebody who does stuff like that, and Devin Clark's going to go night-night. I guarantee it. Rodriguez,
yeah,
the lights got to him. The gas tank got to him. It's definitely the biggest thing we had to worry about, and it came through. You could see where a wrestler is going to really shut down Rodriguez, even though he's coming out of that Lozon camp on the ground. These guys are just too big. But did you see how long I was talking about and big Rodriguez? He was starting to use those elbows okay as well, but he was really pretty much just pushed up against the fence and or on bottom, not able to get up the whole
fight. I don't like the 185 to 205 weight difference. I don't love Rodriguez's body at 205. Mm-hmm. Either he has to fill out with muscle or move down for me. I don't know if he can go down 20. If there was a 10-pound difference in there, he would go down to that. He looks a little flabby for me. I like his skill set, and I definitely see things I loved where improvement made on those things. He's one to watch. I actually like him more going forward in this fight, even though Clark won.
Because he knows what it's like in the UFC, so it's going to be able to give him that, okay, I need to tighten that stuff up, and he's going to grow a lot more. Where Devin Clark, we know Devin Clark gasses after the first round. We've seen it in every single one of his fights. He's 3 out of 4 fights right now, only losing to Block in his last four. But all of those have been by the skin of his teeth, and that's just not somewhere I'm going to be putting my money on. Again, someone with a gas tank is going to be easy money there.
Yeah.
On to the 125 strawweight division. Not strawweight, 125 division. What are those ladies called? Either way, we had Evan Smith versus Beck Rawlings. This was a little bit of a snooze fest, just a featherweight match. Featherweight for the ladies.
Oh, wait, that's Chris. Chris's division. Strawweight.
Strawweight? Yeah. No, strawweight was 115.
Oh, wait, who is it? 125?
Yeah, 125.
Oh sorry. All I had was Rose in my head. That is all I was thinking of.
So either way, Ashley Evan Smith, we were here on her against Beck Rawlings.
Just what is the guy's 125? Flyweight?
Yes.
Okay, flyweight. It's got to be flyweight.
Then it's flyweight. So
they have no rankings for flyweights on UFC. Shame on you.
That's interesting. They're building a lot of these fights. We had Evan Smith coming down from 35, Beck Rawlings going up from 15, but we just saw the lack of power that Rawlings has at 115. At 125 was accentuated. Actually, Evan Smith was eating right hands all fight long, walking through them and landing 2 and 3 punch combinations the whole time. Takedowns were a big plan, and that's what I feel like we were saying a lot here at Lat B, was the takedowns out of the two goes to Evan Smith, and she had one in the last minute of every single round that solidified every round to me. 29-28, solid. I'd say 30-27.
Just the size difference of Ashley Evan Smith, you could totally see it on Beck Rawlings. It sucks for her. It doesn't really matter. She's just fighting with her name right now. The fans like her enough. We noticed her technique did look a little better than we thought it was going into this. She looked like she improved a little since her last fight. I don't know if Beck Rawlings is UFC caliber, but the division is so young and so weak in parts. Beck Rawlings has fights to win at 125. I hate to say it.
Beck Rawlings is 7-8 in her mixed martial arts. How many UFC fighters are on a losing record in the UFC, any weight class?
Artem Lobov?
No, he's 14-14. That's an even.
Oh, he's even.
She's under that now.
There is somebody who knocked somebody out, and then they're now on a losing streak again.
CM Punk.
You're right.
Who has a bout officially with, who's the guy? The reporter who also shouldn't be in there, that they should have matched it up. Trevor Smith or... No, not Trevor Smith. The guy who...
I don't care.
It's a nothing fight in Chicago. It's somebody who CM Punk can actually beat. It's an old UFC photographer guy who's lost every single one of his kickboxing matches, lost 2 MMA fights in the UFC, was like, yeah, come in, we'll give you a spot, because he already had the paperwork as a registered employee. So they're like, oh, perfect. That's the fight they're giving him. It was Mickey Gall's first fight. So either way.
Wow.
On to Aubin Mercier defeating Evan Dunham. We were both right in Dunham, and Denny's blinded us. I was blinded by the Denny's.
This happened for two fights for us that I really can't believe. It was Aubin Mercier and the one right after it.
Yeah.
We are pretty ride or die Aubin Mercier. We pick him in all his fights.
Most of them.
We liked him from the beginning. This was a weird one. Not really a Dunham fan. It really was a bias because he didn't even give us a retweet with the Denny's.
So, the Canadian gangster coming through, defeating Evan Dunham with two body shots in the first minute. How long did that end up going? The first 53 seconds, we had one body shot in the clinch.
I thought Dunham looked good for those first 50 seconds.
I thought Dunham looked old.
I'm just kidding. First 50 seconds. Woo! That first 50 seconds, boy!
He just ate a few shots and I want to say Mercier looked better than he ever has. He looked actually a little trimmer than usual. He's looked more muscular before.
Yeah.
And it looked like he was more ready to go later rounds. I'm not going to say that he's a power puncher. This is one of these guys that, coming up later on the card, was defeated via TKO by like a...
But it isn't. He's training with George St. Pierre. And that I think I'm learning about George is a super smart guy in the octagon.
Yeah.
And you talk about it a lot with... You can do a bunch of different exercises to strengthen certain parts of your body, but you can't strengthen your guts. And so he took that kick to his what it was like
sternum and liver.
Yeah, like almost on ribs. Yeah. Liver.
Liver. It was a liver shot.
He took that kick so hard his body just shut down.
Yep.
There was nothing. He didn't have a choice. His body said, "Nah, you're not fighting no more." So. Because you saw right after the fight, he was okay.
So, I will say this was 8-1-8-1 on DraftKings, and I actually picked Mercier on more cards on my DraftKings than Dunham. So, subconsciously somewhere, I was telling myself I should have gone with Mercier, and didn't work out, ended up getting a loss on here. But it was definitely...
How do you like Mercier going forward?
I'm going to pick him in a few fights. He has a lot of fights to win. He's great on the ground. His striking's coming along.
What weight class was that?
155.
So that's our welterweight?
Lightweight division.
The lightweight.
What is that? They were freaking highlighted this entire night. We had so many lightweight fights.
Because
he's coming off of a 4-fight win streak, first loss. He's gonna have another 2 fights left.
Oh yeah, he can.
So I'm gonna bet against.
Yeah,
Dunham
I just don't care
times.
About where he goes from here because he's falling back in the rankings. But I do care about where. Do you think? What do you think the next good fight could be for
Mercier?
Aubin Mercier, I am impressed with your performance.
I would definitely say he needs to be shooting up in the division and looking forward. There's so much talent in the 155 division right now.
How do you feel about him fighting Anthony Pettis?
I'd love that. I would love any of those fights that
The danger with Anthony, right? Well, that fight happened
even
so
Felder.
Fast.
Even Felder.
Well, I think the fight happened so fast with Aubin Mercier that he could take a Pettis fight. And even Felder. I don't want him to take Felder yet. Felder's hot.
But that's why that's why you want Felder if you're a Mercier. And they're both on the same training camp schedule and they both had a fight fallout. So put him on the next pay-per-view or the next, next week. You could switch that next week and they're like...
Well, Mercier didn't have a fight fallout.
Oh, that's true.
He just fought.
True.
But it was
but
too quick.
Weeks,
it was
weeks.
Quick. 53-second fight. He's ready to go.
He didn't take a punch.
He's ready to go. Yep. I don't like Felder. I just think Felder's dangerous for Mercier. I think the better fight for him... Knockout Pettis, huge name.
Yeah.
Bigger name.
Yeah.
And I think he has a better chance of winning the fight. If I'm his manager.
If you're wanting him to win.
I
wanted to see a fight, baby. I want to see a fight. Let's go, Mercier. Canadian gangster. Or is he going to zone in it and fight the weakest competition ever?
I like to keep my favorite guys climbing. And so I don't think Anthony Pettis has any spot in that top 15 anymore.
He's around for people to make the name. Hence, he was like, fuck that Khabib fight.
Yeah.
But Felder was going to make his name off of Pettis too. So.
What about, this is one for you, Mercier James Vick.
Mercier ain't taking that fight. That's a fight, Mercier.
Okay, listen to this.
I would love that fight.
Okay, then I got
that
you.
Fight, but it doesn't help Vic either.
This is what I got you then. Pettis versus Mercier. Vic versus Paul Felder.
That's a good. That, those are all super fun.
That's
fights.
A good fight. Those are Felder fun Vic. When yep. a fight makes me question who I pick, that's how I know it's a good fight.
Of course. That's what makes it super interesting all the way around. So
you're right. I am feeding Mercier a little bit if I give him Poirier. But think about that.
Then no, Poirier not Poirier.
Has, or not Poirier. Pettis.
Poirier is in a different division.
You're
so.
Right.
On to, or wait, how do you feel about Mercier's post-fight speech? With, I was a virgin with my TKO, so that's cool. And what was he saying? I want to be, he had a really funny, awesome, he gained a lot of fans, a lot of notoriety this
said,
whole last
Ireland
week.
Has a gangster in Connor.
That was a tweet of his, right? The actual post-fight speech was something else.
Oh, something about the virgin thing. And then, I have the stash and everything. I want to be a Canadian gangster.
Which, the ladies of the house were definitely hating all over that mustache.
I didn't. I liked it.
It makes him look a little bit more like a man. He's a babyface.
I just don't hate a good mustache. I get what's going on with the dudes that are rocking a mustache. I think it's funny. Like, it's that guy has a sense of humor.
Yes. He wears a fanny pack and it doesn't make too much
about it. I like
it.
Yeah, so, all right, Aubin. I'm seeing it. I like mm-hmm. this new, Aubin's himself. He's not trying to be friggin' Connor.
He's making his own waves, and it should be proof, like Thurdow himself, that you don't have to be throwing any dollies through any windows to make attention. You can do it in other ways.
For
sure. You can do it in many other ways. So, on to Karolina Kavalkovic versus Felice Herring. This ended up being a dirty-ass split here at Lat B. We were coming through with our underdog. One of the few times it hasn't pulled out. We had Felice Herring actually have a dirty split, which I think makes it credible on a cursed card. On a cursed card, I'm okay.
Say it again.
Dirty split.
Felice Herring has a dirty split.
I do think it should have been 30-27, though, for Karolina. Karolina pretty much won that.
I have to give out a new award and it's only going to happen at pay-per-view cards. I have this award called Most Improved. There was this period of time where I thought Karolina might be losing her little hand grippings on the rung of climbing to the top mm-hmm. of the women's division. I saw so much improvement in her this fight from her last fight. Her takedown game was on point. Her grappling was so much better. Homegirl saw her friggin' holes, went back and worked on them.
Homegirl saw her holes.
Yeah. Homegirl saw her holes. She went back and worked on those holes, came back a far better fighter, and I like what KK is doing right now. I feel okay that, yeah, our Leslie Smith underdog pick was wrong, but wow, girl. Good for you. No one saw how definitively you were going to win this battle.
Right. Karolina, at the end of the first round, in the last minute, ended up Imanari rolling into leg submissions, into a great scramble. I specifically was giving Herring the ground control.
And me as well. Me as well. That's why I picked her in the fight.
Herring reversed KK with like a triangle-esque type of throw up, and then KK re-reversed it. But all, as you're saying, 100%. Karolina made up what I thought the deficiencies were and showed that now she has elite striking and ground game. I think that with that submission that she ended up having as of late, Karolina was like, okay, I need to change something. And she's been working on that. Gas tank looked great. Felice Herring's gas tank looked good as well. Felice, once she started to lose that fight, once Karolina didn't ever back off, you could see that mental weakness come in a little bit. I feel like she was really getting hesitant. That's what we always have to worry with Felice. When somebody's a little more fragile than she is, you see what happens and she can roll over, but she's a front runner, and that's just somebody that you, against these hard walls in Karolina, we should have seen it a little bit more. Karolina is somebody that's gonna be in that top five division. She is top five for me. Fun stuff at the 115 division. There's fun
fights
to make.
Where does she go from here? Does Karolina get the Rose fight next, or do you give it to Jessica Andrade? Who do you give it to first?
Because Karolina has a win over Rose, I think that's the one you make.
So, do you think JJ, if JJ stays at 115, mm-hmm. her and Jessica Andrade maybe run it back, and KK and Rose run it back?
Because, yeah, I would agree with that 100%. So Andrade can try to correct the loss, and Rose can correct the loss.
And Claudia Gadelha sits out, and she meets Tiny Tornado. Or what do you like?
That's a fun one. That's a really fun one.
And you know what else I like, too, for Herring, and I think it's a good place for her to go from here, is I think Nina.
That's right. Is Nina in the 125s, though? Did she move up?
This is 115.
Yeah, but I'm saying, did Nina move up?
I don't believe so.
Okay.
I hope not. I think she's at 115.
That girl looked good.
She looked good, though, at her last fight at 115. I hope she stays there for a little while.
I hope so, too.
Anyways.
I can see that.
Very exciting division. Easily the best woman's division in the UFC by leaps and bounds. Most exciting.
So far, right. I would agree with that. Even the 125, I feel like it's a little bit of that because so many of these women are now getting those 135ers and 115ers, the perfect tweener. But this is why you make a division at 165, at 195. This is because there's guys that Devin Clark is a 195er. He can't make 185. And he looks always a little just extra thick to me. But at 195, I guarantee you it's the perfect weight for him. Even freaking Rodriguez would be a 195er.
Yeah.
So, because he fought at 85 for a long time. On to one of the bigger wage gaugers of the night, at least for the Bean. I feel like on air, I switched to Grootsmacher. I rid out Grootsmacher super heavy throughout the night. Put him on a ton of my cards. He cashed for me super heavy. It was just a bigger fade on Joe
Lozon.
It's
by far your best pick of the night.
Yes. it really was. Joe Lozon ended up just being, he needs to go. I would say if Clay Guida can knock you out, it doesn't matter who else is in the division. Clay Guida doesn't knock anybody out. And he was able to finish Joe Lozon. Joe Lozon gassed in the first minute? Two minutes?
He looks like a shell of himself. You are so right.
It's so unfortunate. And I don't want to say it negatively because Joe has so many great memories and so many wars, but those wars are catching up to him. He's number one in all of UFC, as far as you need to take a step. He shouldn't have any other fights.
It's time to go coaching.
Diego Sanchez, but they're in the same era of fighter as well. They've been around since the beginning. Both of those fighters just need to be like, all right, let me look at other options. I really don't want to see Joe in there. It was a retirement on the stool. Grootsmacher was able to take the first minute barrage after even in that first round. You could see Lozon was fading. And Grootsmacher, the thing that people are going to be super hyped, and I feel like I was saying too on the show as well, was he's going to potentially win this fight. And people are going to be like, he finished Joe Lozon. Amazing. Groots couldn't finish Joe Lozon, who's a shell of himself. He couldn't knock him out when he was all sorts of hurt, which is just somebody with a good gas tank with power against Grootsmacher is going to. Grootsmacher's biggest asset is his toughness. And eventually, someone's going to land hard enough because he takes a big beating from a lot of guys and weathers a storm and can win decisions, but there's hard enough hitters in that division that will eventually put him down in time. How do you feel it all went down by the end of the night with this retirement in line?
I think the Joe's got to go.
Unfortunately.
And Grootsmacher, there's money to be made betting against him because everyone's going to build a hype train.
Totes.
And yeah, I think you've said it all on that.
And that's all I have to say about that.
Yeah, there's really nothing left to say about it. That was a lot to say.
Sorry, my bad. And that was the pay-per-view, by the way. We ended up
getting into the main card.
I do, because of all the switches that ended up happening, Ala Quinta stepping in, they ended up moving a few fights to the main event. So that one ended up being a punching bag of a fest. It was Grootsmacher showing you how he hits a punching bag for the whole round.
Yeah, everyone was, when they were explaining, hey, he did this good, that good, this good, all of a sudden you're like, he had no defense to get through. He had absolutely zero defense to get through. Joe was barely putting his hands up.
Yep.
Does Joe Lozon kind of look like powder?
Both of his eyes super swollen. It was hard to see. It was a corner retirement.
Yes, thank you.
It was a corner retirement.
The number one thing to say about that is thank you for
the corner. Everybody was saying
thank
it.
Thank you.
Everyone.
I want to see more of that in the UFC.
And the ref, could have stopped it a few times. Just like, you're out on your feet, dude. Like, nobody would have said you let him out too early. Joe Lozon was not in that fight after that first 2 minutes.
And I don't think there's fights in the top 15 to make for either guy at all going forward. So there's no need to even talk about it. So remember the name Grootsmacher, because you're going to make money betting against him.
On to another fight that, rightly so, should have been on the pay-per-view. I feel like this was fight of the night. Unfortunately, it was not given fight of the night.
Oh, did you hear what got fight of the night?
Yeah, the main event did, but we'll get there. Yeah. Either way, this was where I feel like Latby was 100% right all the way. We both picked Zabit. Zabit showed why he should be a favorite, but all credit to Bochniak. We said it wasn't going to be an easy fight, and the minus 800 was totally wrong. It should have been 2-1, if anything, and Bochniak proved that. We saw holes in Zabit's game that have never been exposed because he's such a heavy front runner, and we saw his gas tank really tested. What I really loved in this fight was obviously the pressure of Bochniak, even though he was losing these exchanges with the re-counters that Zabit was showing, which was beautiful. The footwork and the movement Zabit was showing with his hands down. I think somebody with a little bit better striking can really put it on him, on Zabit, and he is human.
Is this the men's flyweight division?
This is the men's 145-pound division.
145, that's featherweight.
I do believe so. So Zabit throwing all sorts of flashy stuff out, and Bochniak again just showing tons of great footwork as well. Good takedown defense, good takedowns and attempts. I'm going to be betting heavy on Bochniak coming out of this. There's not anybody that's going to say, hey, nobody on Twitter said, I want Bochniak next. Nobody. Joe Lozon probably got a few callouts. Like, oh yeah, Matt Brown was probably like, I'll fight him.
I think Bochniak do Ho Choi.
That's fun.
Oh, but I think they already making a Korean versus Korean fight.
Ooh.
Do Ho Choi versus, Do Ho Choi is the Korean Superboy. Then there's the other one.
The Astro Boy is the other
one? Astro Boy. I think it might be Astro Boy Superboy.
Yeah. So,
I didn't want to be racist, people who aren't UFC fans. Their names are actually similar.
They are. Have very close nicknames.
And then somebody's going to be like, no, it's not that fight at all. It's the other Korean guy, racist.
Yeah, it's Youngmin Lim.
Yeah.
So, this ends up being 15-1 for Zabit. It's still going to be picking Zabit in a lot of fights, but these outrageous lines of minus 800, it's a little iffy. I think the main event was exposed in that as well.
I think Zabit's going to be crawling up. I totally agree with you, and I've noticed a lot of the people that I pay attention to have been trying so hard to validate their heavy pick on Zabit finishing quick that they're like, he was amazing, he was amazing, he was amazing, he was amazing, and I'm like, ooh, I'm going to make money betting against you. Keep saying he was amazing, because that'll sway all the lines on DraftKings and make him 9,400.
100%.
So
100%.
He's definitely one of those fighters I will be able to make money betting against one day.
Back to, real quick, the announcers. What I really dislike,
I'm not getting on the hype train. I'm not buying my tickets, what I'm saying. So not getting on.
He's going to beat a lot of other fighters, but interestingly enough, there's definitely a ton of tape that you all of a sudden can get on him, on Zabit.
How do you feel he fares against Miles Jury?
Jury's got no chin. It's just Jury's on his way out.
Well, they're going to let Zabit climb. They let him jump from the first fight of the night to the main card.
Yeah.
On a pay-per-view.
But rightly so, it should have been, because it should have been fight of the night. That was just tons of fun. Back to the announcers really quick. What I hated and was having such a big deal specifically with this fight is they were just like, look, it's Zabit's movement. Look, it's Zabit's movement. And they were just like, man, Bochniak's tough. Bochniak put his hands down. Had one of the fight of the year moments of the year so far with putting his hands down in the last 30 seconds of that fight and going
like
after Zabit.
Minute and a half.
Minute, right? Just yelling into this first and second round and really having a warrior spirit in there. And you could see again in Zabit being like, okay, I guess I'm going to war. Zabit got hit a few times. Someone with a little more power, you can see that left hook's there for Zabit with his hands down.
Who is that someone in the 145 division?
I think even though Poirier can get overwhelmed, he has the type of power in general where I saw Zabit get hit a few times where I'm like, someone that cracks with a good left hand, which I think is Poirier's in that type of range, is gonna be a little bit, so and that needs a good gas tank too, because you could see that Zabit started slowing down. Also, that front leg is super exposed for Zabit.
I was saying that he was squared off out there,
and
the
you could
time.
See when Bochniak was coming in and really hitting to the body well and going to the head on Zabit, Zabit was really leaning back with his head straight back. And even earlier in the night, they were really commenting on other fighters like, oh, that's really, he's keeping his head straight up, and I don't like that. But they weren't saying it about Zabit because he was exiting well in time with a good gas tank. But either way, that front leg was really, someone with good leg kicks is also going to be a hella hard fight for Zabit. Though the announcers, though, weren't giving Bochniak, they were calling him a tough kid and giving him accolades that way, but they weren't really showing how much of a fight he was making it. It wasn't just one guy in there styling. Zabit was on his back foot the whole time, and it was because Bochniak fucking bit down on his mouthpiece.
He's somebody to watch going forward. Both guys watch going totally. Forward. The thing I like about Zabit, because this sounds like a hate fest, even though he went in there and had one of the fights of the year so far.
Totally.
He's a young fucking guy, and he has nothing to do but improve. His height for that division, if he can keep it down at that weight, which I don't know if somebody can, it looks a little unnatural to me how much weight he's carrying across his chest. I know I talk about all the fighters' weights. If he can stay at 145, his length is going to be dangerous for anyone. Because did you see how hard it was for Bochniak to get inside his reach the whole first round?
Sure.
That was insane.
But not to say that Bochniak wasn't able to get in there, because he was.
Yeah, eventually he was.
And I do think also as a front leg against Zabit attack and a body attack on Zabit, it's going to change the game.
We saw a couple of good body shots that really stopped him for a minute.
Super fun. That was such a great, great fight. Moving on to Moicano, Hento Moicano himself, Carnero, versus Calvin Cater, not Qatar.
We tried to give him a fancier name.
The Tater Cater himself. I felt like the bean might have been a little bit right here, that Cater has a lot of things going on in his life. Apparently, he actually moved away from his main training camp, and it's because he is running a promotion, running a gym, and fighting in the UFC. We have never seen anybody be able to do that. And as many people say Chael Sonnen did that, Chael Sonnen only had money fights that he uniquely set himself up. It's just too much to do. It really is. Being a fight promoter is a very hard job. It doesn't give you any breaks at all. And we saw the gas tank really be tested for Cater. Cater looked best when he was at his previous camp and only more worried about that against Burgos. But here at Lat B, we should have made Moicano the underdog, because he ended up coming through. He ended up actually being a minus 115 by the end of the night, but by the time we were betting him, it was plus 145 for Moicano when we were talking about him. So we had money on him. He definitely cashed out a few times for me. What was the biggest part of this fight? Leg kicks. Moicano really got at range, and those legs, he ate him apart. Joe Rogan also hating all over Qatar, saying he wasn't checking any kicks. He was checking outside kicks, but that leg attack that Moicano had eventually got there. Moicano also landing ones and twos, breaking Cater's nose early in that second round. And I just think it was an accumulation of work and not having Cater's priorities in line. Showed us he's a tough guy, and a lot of other guys would be finished in there. All credit due to Cater. He is definitely a tough guy, but there's things that you could see that I feel like he didn't look like his old self, and it paid off. Here at Lat B, if you liked and subscribed, you're making money. Moves. How do you feel this one went down? What was the... It was a fun fight for me. Did you think it was a fun one?
It was a good fight. No. I think you said it all.
Cater got one-sidedly handed in there. Both of them got power, but Moicano's somebody to watch out there. Only loss to Ortega. Money to be made. Anytime you see a plus money, which I don't think people are after this performance, I think Moicano's going to be a sided favorite.
Yeah, he put on a good performance. I don't know where Cater goes from here. Looking at this division, it looks kind of... It's a weird, fluffed, ranked division that I don't know how I feel about anyone's rankings looking into it. Maybe you put Moicano against Darren Elkins?
Interesting. I would like that. Moicano looked tall in there to me. He looked long in there. Was that just me?
He did. I don't know how many days it will be till Qatar can walk. He's on a lot of painkillers today. His leg is probably the size, you know, of like a good...
Both legs. Moicano was picking... When he was switching stances and stuff and checking a few times, there was a check early in that first round, even though Joe Rogan was saying, he's not checking anything. Again, he was checking the outside, which really set up that inside leg attack. But by that time, Qatar didn't realize that he needed a cross step or turn that other knee on the inside and cross it to check the inside kicks. But he was just getting picked apart the whole time. Are you going to bet on Qatar on his next fight? You're as good as your last fight. And Qatar looked a little rough. I need to know if he backs off of that other stuff before I place a bet on him, honestly. I need to look into his background. He's a very fight-to-fight fighter for me, where the other guys kind of string together some good showings.
This is such a weird division. I don't really know how I feel about either guy going forward with what's ahead for them in it. It gets so thick so quick. It's like you go from Yair Rodriguez being number 10 to Ricardo Lamas being number 7.
Yair versus Moicano would be a fun one. That's a strike fest. That'd be a super fun one.
I think Yair is number 10.
But that's why. Give that to Moicano. That's what I'm saying. That's what I'll go back and forth on.
Yeah. Both guys have very similar body styles.
And different striking, where Moicano's that Muay Thai and Yair's that kicking Taekwondo style. So, anything left?
Nope.
Co-main event should have just ended up being the main event, but the UFC is trying to make as many belts regardless of who's fighting in there.
Trying so hard to push Khabib.
This ended up being a 5-rounder. A lot of people ended up getting this one right, with Rose being an underdog for a while. Ended up being -115, -115. Rose Namajunas coming through and showing that she is a better all-around fighter. And she even said it in the post-fight herself. Hey, Joanna was one of the best, but I'm better. And she proved it. It was a pretty one-sided beating. There was maybe 2 rounds in there that I could have given to JJ. But I'd say that Rose, as we were saying, leg kicks, Joanna was throwing a shit ton of leg kicks, landing a lot of the time. And we saw Qatar get picked apart by it. But even though Rose wasn't checking him, she just wasn't even, she wasn't faulting with that. She specifically said, Pat Barry kicks me harder than that. And that's the truth. That's the truth. I'm sure he does. That guy going 0.5% with them big old legs is going to lay one on you. But we just saw a complete mixed martial artist all the way around. Rose showing wonderful counters, great footwork on the outside, inside, throwing hard punches all the way around. JJ wore it on her face all over. I mean, maybe 2 little black eyes. Again, Pat Barry beats Rose Namajunas harder than JJ did.
It was so crazy that Rose Namajunas' bruises after the fight were perfectly placed, like eyeshadow. They were perfectly placed above her eyes. Ever so.
Dana White in the post-fight press conference himself said, there's grown men that take less leg kicks, that are in wheelchairs, that are screaming on pain meds, hence Calvin Qatar probably was one of those guys that was like...
Calvin Qatar took far more, far harder.
That's a good call.
Far more, far harder. An interesting thing that Joanna was touting off about, which, Joanna, you're up there with Ronda Rousey with how bad of a loser you are.
I really don't like
non-gracious at all. You make it really hard to be a fan, and I'm a huge friggin' fan of you. That being said, she had more significant strikes in every round than Rose.
Not in every.
Every single round.
Really?
Every single one. Per the whatever fight stat,
but
blah, blah,
really,
blah.
The bite metric? Yeah. Interesting.
More significant strike. Here's where I think it got in. Rose won with head strikes. And we said it all fight night. Every time we saw a weird split, they were not counting leg kicks.
Leg kicks, they never do.
They weren't counting the leg kicks. And this is a problem with boxing judges in UFC and MMA. It's like a huge issue. So I just...
Is one of the criteria in MMA... Should be, if you're a judge in MMA, regardless of your age, you have to wear a thigh pad and someone has to wear a shin pad and kick you, a professional, kick you even at 50.5%. I know guys are breaking their legs or whatever, just so they understand
No, I just don't think we need boxing judges in our sport. I think that's so much better than picking the boxing judges.
It'll change your life.
I think you just have MMA people. I think they...
Any guy out there, anybody in the listening in the UK, Australia, whatever, get your girl, get your husband, get your wife, get your kid to just watch a couple YouTube videos. You hold out your leg so they don't kick you in the knee. Don't move your leg. Let them kick you across the thigh, in the back of the thigh. They don't know what they're doing, and I guarantee you, you will have a new respect for leg kicks because it is a devastating thing to deal with. You can learn to deal with it. A lot of guys have, but...
A lot of women have. Look at Rose.
Right. Look at Rose.
But anyway, so that's like a big thing going on.
Sure.
Like that she had more significant strikes. But in my opinion, all strikes aren't significant strikes.
Sure.
And I do think they tend to allow, call the lady strike more significant. Rose did have the takedown in it. Yep. I felt like she dominated the fight, which ring octagon controls part of it. There's so many other things besides.
Definitely ring IQ. She won.
In my opinion, round one, Rose.
Uh-huh.
Round two, Rose. It wasn't questionable. Round three, non-questionable at all. Ioana's round, handedly. I thought Ioana was taking over the fight. Around a minute and a half, 2 minutes, I thought Ioana was starting to get into her championship rounds. Round four, championship round, Ioana showing she's a champion, which I think was a plan. Rose was saving energy. Because in round five, Rose came out, and as the time went on in that round, Rose just started to dominate more and more and more and more and more. I don't know what happens with Ioana from here, except that I've been saying she needs to move up forever. She needs to move up, and she needs to change camps. It's time. Ioana has too many yes men around her. The same problem for Ioana is the same thing I see for Khabib. Too many yes men means a fighter's not going to grow, and I just think we've seen, even the way her camp said, we're not changing the game plan at all. We're just going right back in there with the same, you saw that you went in there with the same game plan, because that left was open all night. You didn't do anything to close the gaps. You didn't do anything to train for it, and you had the time. So if you have too many yes men around you, it's time. It's time you need to change. And especially if you think you had problems with Rose, and you think you're going to move up to 125 without changing camps with a bunch of yes men around you to fight Shevchenko, good luck. So I don't like Ioana's ego from here. Her ego is going to be her number, with surrounded by the yes men feeding her ego, that will be the number one thing that stifles Ioana's game going forward. Example being Ronda Rousey. That's what I think happens when you do this. I think you need somebody to sit down with you, let you cry it out, tell you to suck it up now. We're going to get back into training, get you back on your bike, kiss your wounds and make them better. Take you on vacation first before you do all this. That's what good coaching is.
Totally.
A good coach isn't saying, let's make every excuse in the world of why you lost, and now this time we're going to immediately let you make excuses again by letting you go in there and just...
I don't think it's a coach that does that. I think it's totally the fighter, because it's the fighter they're asking the questions, and the coach... Yeah, I think it's JJ on that. Like, she's just... It's her, because there's fighters out of ATT that don't have that same type of mentality.
I wonder how much of the encompassing orb of Ioana and JTEX takes away from those fighters at ATT.
Yeah, I think there's proof in that, because
look at all the Mike women Brown, fled camp.
There was also a few other fighters that were like, oh, I wish Mike Brown would be there, but he's got the champ that he's devoting all of his time to. And you saw him anytime when JJ was on the treadmill, anything that Mike was right there. But apparently that happens also in other gyms.
Tisha fights. Tisha Torres fights. Yep. All the AT&T girls show up at her fight. Ioana fights. They're champion. Not one of them show up.
They've all left, though, as you're saying as well.
Well, not friggin' Amanda and Nina.
They're at ATT, so?
Yeah.
Yeah, true.
Why would Amanda change right now? It's not broken.
Interesting. Yeah.
And she doesn't have the same training camp at all, or the same striking coaches, which I think is, as a JJ. So, I don't know. It's all interesting dynamics, and I just think it's time for Ioana to...
It's a fun shakeup for the division, because Ioana was such a long-time reigning champ that it is... Ioana does have a legacy in it. She could beat many, many, many women. There's still tons of money.
Oh, my gosh. She has tons of gas left in the tank. Yeah. I just think a downfall for her because of how we see the sport grow will be if she doesn't decide. And she's still young enough with what we see with women's careers.
So I say if it's that move up, obviously we have a 0-2 fighter against my girl, Valentine.
I want Yolanda to go train with Dom's camp.
What I'm saying is, if she moves up to 125, I want to see that 125 Shevchenko versus JJ, because JJ has already beat her. And that's how Rose beat and realized the plan of beating with that left hand was all.
Who's taking that Shevchenko fight?
Debuters, because it's the same cyborg thing. They're like, nobody wants a fighter.
Knock me out.
Yep. Give me two more fights, but you can finish me.
You're like, oh, please knock me out. Don't land 300 punches to my four.
So, does the main event finally come a call-in? Have we finally gotten to the show? We
finally creeped and crawled to the end.
When that bell rung, when that first step was taken, Conor McGrubbs was stripped. And I'm sure he was throwing shit inside of whatever coked-out hotel room he was in. If he was back home, who gives a shit? Trying to make it all about him. He ended up having three fights be scrapped due to his incompetence. Really love the picture that's going around. The gifts going around of Connor's face as he's throwing the dolly through the window. Yeah. That is really, really funny. And comedic stuff that's going to come from this for the years to come. The just stuff to write about is so much fun and gifts coming along the way.
Has Connor said anything yet?
Nope. He's doing it all just...
Do you think his lawyers are more telling him shut the F up?
And I think less is more. Or less is keep it quiet and it lets people just write about it even longer because he has to have a stance once he says something.
Is easily the biggest story of 223.
By far.
Conor McGregor.
So unfortunate. Because Ally Quinta coming in on short notice should be the biggest story. And or JJ coming back should be trying to get her belt back after a long time reign. But we're talking about McGrubbs.
Not should be the new 155 champion.
Because if you believe in this UFC sets up fights for people to win, whether it's external stuff or not, and they really are pushing for a Russian market out there, Khabib was going to get that belt no matter what. If Ally Quinta wouldn't have made it to that cage, I guarantee you that they would have made Khabib the champ. I guarantee it. They
just
were just
honorary.
Looking. Yep. They don't give a damn who it is. They were just like, you don't know the Russian contracts we have. We just need a Russian fighter to be the champ right now. Here. Because the fact that Al wasn't able to, even though they weighed his underwear afterwards and it was worth 0.2 and he was 0.2 over, they should have gave him at least that option. Ally Quinta has a huge set of balls, making tons of money, biggest paycheck he's ever had. He has a legacy that he doesn't have to fight, I believe. I believe he, in his real estate company, has the equity that he can now buy enough stuff, and he has the publicity, especially with this fight, that he can just shake everyone's hand. And he's even talked about it before. I've made purchases because people have said, you're the UFC fighter. I want to buy a home here. Could you help me? He calls up Arizona and is like, he makes money. He makes the commission somehow. So this is only going to make Ally Quinta star brighter. Going 5 rounds with Khabib Nurmagomedov is no easy feat. Guess what we saw? If we saw holes in Khabib's game, we saw gaping holes in Khabib Nurmagomedov. The eagle is human. He does bleed. We can kill him. America had a beautiful showing. Fucking loved the crowd the whole time. Giving Ally Quinta tons of prop. Everyone knew that it was an uphill battle. And Ally Quinta proved that even on a long layoff, even just beating Diego Sanchez a few years ago, he was able to go in there and not be defeated and showed that takedown defense can potentially win a fight with Khabib. Khabib was getting hit a few times in there. Khabib highlighting his jab the whole fight. Do you think, though, my conspiracy a bit is Khabib trying to make it a longer fight to get the money, the pay-per-view buys, make it as long as possible? But everyone wanted the finish, and Al proved there was a point in time where Khabib was kind of just letting the fight go on. And then as Khabib started to wear a little bit, all of a sudden Khabib was like, okay, I'm going to take him down, and then couldn't. I think, was it finally in the fifth round Khabib got the first takedown of the fight, second takedown of the fight in the fifth round? Because He finally chained together a long time, but he really tried that single leg quite a few times. But you saw Ally Quinta framing perfectly against the head and shoulders, using his frames, his shields as his forearms to frame against the clavicles, and just straight leg out, where a lot of guys just try to limp leg out and turn. Habib will then shoot onto your back and take your back immediately, where Ally Quinta used his D1 wrestling and was like, you don't turn your back to a guy like that. You push him the whole way in. If he crawls up your body, you're using your hands to fight him and your forearms to fight him the whole way up. Loved everything I saw from Ally Quinta. How do you feel this one ended up going down? Was it worth your main event? Was it worth $65? Did everything change by the end of the night?
I feel like you've said so much about all the fights. I really was just like... And you were talking in the fifth round. I'm like, holy shit, how did we get here from here?
Oh, I went for... Yeah, my bad. My bad.
Jesus.
Did I leave anything to say?
I don't know if you did.
Ally Quinta definitely showed out. Do you think he's going to fight? Do you think Ally is going to keep fighting?
Does Khabib get any credit for taking a fight on a short notice? He got offered 3 fights.
How many times has this happened to Khabib? Every fight is short notice for him. Horcher, debuter, short notice. And I feel like multiple other fights are like 1 week out, 2 weeks out. People just fall out. People fall out, or does a Russian mom make an appearance in somebody's house and they freaking lose an LCL due to a wire? I think he walked on stage with a torn LCL. He had a freaking hit job on his knee. We saw Connor's hit team out there. Habib's got a hit team. He rolls 30 deep as well. You think he had eyes on all those fools? No. He was like, all right, you two go to freaking get me some tiramisu. You two go get me some vodka. Let's do this thing.
How do you rank Ally Quinta as far as 155er goes?
He's moves up regardless,
no,
right?
No. I just mean, is he a top 10 guy before
he
the
was
fight?
11th. Right?
So I think he was an 11th guy. Do you think Khabib deserves a 155-pound belt for beating the 11th guy? Don't you think it's the exact same thing we just saw with Luke Rockhold, this bullshit title transfer for a fight for no reason? Whitaker's out for, I'm going to be out for 3 months. Okay, let's make an interim for Luke versus Branch or whatever bullshit crazy fight. Yep. I don't even remember what it was at the time. And so then now he's holding an interim belt for some reason. So didn't Tony Ferguson just fight Kevin Lee for an interim belt, a legitimate interim belt, because Conor McGregor couldn't fulfill his duties as a champion?
So
then you strip friggin' Tony of his belt.
I forgot to say that.
And you strip Conor of his
belt. And they said they weren't. Remember when he said, twice Tony going to get stripped?
In two different press conferences.
Why is he going to get stripped? And then he came out and said, and not him, John Anik said it.
I think the hole in Khabib's game that I saw the most, not just his punching. One, do I think Conor can find that opening? Because I do think Conor has quicker hands than Ally Quinta. And there was tons of time that I think Ally Quinta was just leaving his head there to be hit unnecessarily. And Khabib was having better stand-up in like the fourth round, which made no sense to me why Al wasn't taking those swings then. Which led me to believe Khabib obviously has a heavy enough freaking top game that Al was nervous enough about it going there again. The takedowns Khabib was going for were bullshit ankle picks, weak, and the same takedown over and over again that by the fourth round I felt like Al had figured it out, and that's when he started to pull out of them every single time. There wasn't a time until... So if Connor... If Al, he was only trained for 3-round fight, so he came out in the fourth and fifth round a lot better than I was anticipating him come out looking. Maybe even better than Khabib. I was wondering, do you think Khabib may have not finished it so that he... Well, no, because Khabib, everyone wants that fight. The number one thing for me that I thought that speaks wonders for this is the way to control Khabib is wrist control.
Yes, we saw Al really isolating
the
wrists
time.
The whole time. And it's exactly what you have to do against a good wrestler. But Al is a D1 wrestler. Like, he wrestled college. That's as high credentials as you can get. He's a jiu-jitsu guy out of that Sarah team as well.
And I think
loved
I would
it.
Honestly, this is what I would do if I were fighting Khabib. I'd take a little Vaseline and I'd rub it on my ankle. That's
not
it.
Not a bad call.
Just the same ankle, too. We know exactly what side he's going to go for because of the cauliflower on one side of his ear. So he picks the same ankle every single time. So I just need to grease up one ankle.
with, as you were saying, though, real quick, with Al, why he wasn't necessarily going for it sometimes for that shot, even though he was letting Khabib take over in the striking. Ale Quinta was training for a 3-round Felder fight and on 24 hours found out he was going an extra 10 minutes. I think it's more testament on Al, like, wow.
I know I picked Al versus Felder, but looking back at it, it was one of the fights I changed before it went on, but then it got canceled, right, to Felder. Looking back at Felder, in my opinion, he would have been far more dangerous for Khabib to go against. I think he has...
better gas tank or more
I think
activity.
He has more strength, uh-huh, than Ale Quinta, and I think he actually might not have better takedowns, but he has a better ground game. And I think it had nothing to do with weight. Khabib's people picked the fight they wanted, and that was Ale Quinta. You're right. I think they very selectively pick which fight they want.
They just wanted Khabib the shortest path to that belt. With the stripping, though, I back to that real quick. God, just
I
how
to say
dirty.
This. Khabib's not my champion. How dirty. Tony Ferguson is still my champion.
Tony,
Beating Kevin Lee means more to me than beating Ale Quinta.
Hashtag not my champion is a good one. Hashtag not my champion.
Beating Kevin Lee means more to me than beating Ale Quinta. And Connor, Tony should have gotten the belt long before.
Tony, via Twitter 13 hours ago, was saying, "You're stripping me of a title for that performance? Question mark. See you ninjas later. Hashtag UFC, still the mat champ." That's as of late.
Does he say hashtag Snapdown City?
Nope.
Nope. Because we were talking about it last night. Was he Snapdown City?
No.
Or until
Brian? Yeah, he was.
Was he T-City?
Something like
that. Or did he take it afterward?
I think he took it like he took the suits afterwards. But then he says he does his own funk, because then I think he takes Kevin Lee's stuff and he's like, I'm going to wear cargo shorts. Because he's just like, I'm going to go work out in a suit just because. That's the way he tries to be unique when he's not ripping somebody else's performance stuff. And I love Tony Ferguson. I bet on Tony Ferguson. I'm not talking shit. I'm just like,
Do you think Tony Ferguson would have won that fight? I know it's neither.
Yes,
it doesn't
I do
matter,
think. But. I was betting Tony. I think Tony, in the unique angles with his game plan with 10th Planet Jiu-Jitsu, boom. With what we saw from Khabib, I hope Dana White makes that fight again. Because it's a fight to be made. But it is one of those that I feel like we were saying here, don't let anybody know until they weigh in 25 hours ahead of time.
Yeah, we said be tentative the entire time.
Yep. Don't
that's
put a ton of promotion
that's
for
how I
it.
Feel about Khabib going forward. In my opinion, you want to know what jinxed the card? It wasn't. I actually was weary on whether the title would ever be changed over. If Ale Quinta won, would Conor have gotten to keep his belt, because Ale Quinta couldn't have won the title.
Do you, and with Ale Quinta, at the end when his hand was raised, did you see, we were looking at him, Ale Quinta.
He was being super funny.
He was being awesome.
I didn't win.
Oh, wait.
Yeah.
I loved it. Al, even though he's a hothead, definitely is good for the sport.
And he's like, oh, it's all over and I just made $1 million or $500,000
yeah,
or $200,000.
And he didn't get finished. He didn't look like everybody else looks in there where he gets ragdolled.
He definitely looked better than Barboza did.
Anybody. Nobody has looked that good against Khabib. Hurt Khabib a few times, but Khabib has that Dagestani face where it's canvas for face, because not even a swelling, nothing. Nothing happened. Then again, 5-rounder, ultra short notice. It was just such a shit show.
Do you think there's any opportunity that Khabib's on performance-enhancing drugs?
Have you seen Icarus on Netflix? Have you? No, not even a joke. Russian prime ministers, do not think there's not heavy-duty money behind Khabib. He's coming also, and Zabit as well, is coming out of the Fight University, which I was looking more into in Russia. Like, Cuba has its wrestling university. Russia, or parts of Russia, have a fight university where kids start with sambo and all that stuff as they're young kids. So these guys do have different, there's a lot of training camps that are like, bring any of those doggy fighters over and you see a top 10, if not a champion, which I'm like, that's a little harsh. Everybody has a weakness. We're starting to see it.
That's why we love MMA. Jumping on Tony now, like, oh, he would have won the everyone saying it. After and the I'm fact. Like, after the after fact. The we fact. Were saying it before the fact.
100%. Anything left with this night? We got another fight coming up on Saturday night. It's going to be on Big Fox. We're going to get it on our local network television. You're going to be able to see it no matter what. Everyone is going to be able to catch it. It's a fun one. We have Gaethje Poirier headlining
it. It's a great card.
So we got a big old breakdown coming for you on Wednesday. We're going to have, I believe, 12 to 11 fights, maybe 13. It's been, I can't put my finger on anything these days, the way things have been going of late.
UFC needs to start doing stuff. I need to rest my MMA brain for a minute.
Right, got a heavy duty week coming up.
Wednesday, I will have fresh brain for my Gaethje Poirier, because I'm still questioning that in my brain, which makes me think, good fight. So make sure you like and subscribe.
Let's go to the beat!